follow Paul. The obvious, it is to me, it's very obvious if you watch these television preachers and all, it's very obvious that you can understand that what's going on in the world religiously. I ain't talking about morally and all that. There ain't no morals left in the world no more. Morals have about gone downhill. But anyway, we're going to start here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. But first, would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that we can meet here this morning and to study your word. And we ask you, Lord, to be with us this morning and let us not be dismayed about the things we can't understand, and let us simply believe you mean what you say. And Father, we especially continue to pray for those that are sick. We ask you to be with these people, to heal them according to thy will. And Father, we ask you this morning to give honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Don't forget, next weekend, I believe it's next weekend, yeah, this coming up weekend, is Mark Rumfeld's having a conference in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That'll be the June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And I'm sure Mark would appreciate you being there. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And this is two different times here. And there's no getting around it, that the two different times here. And the reason I'm reading this verse, I watched Dr. Jeremiah Denton this morning, whatever his name is, he's talking about the rapture. He said the rapture and the second coming are not the same, and that's true. They're different. The rapture is the church, the body of Christ. Those that believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins at Calvary, the Holy Spirit baptizes them into a body. That body is written in Romans to Philemon. Nobody knew anything about that body. The Old Testament prophets, Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, never said one time that God was going to build up a group of people, of Jew and Gentile that were not in the covenants of promise, into one body and rapture them out before the tribulation starts. No mention of it anywhere in the Old Testament or in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, there is a mention of Jesus Christ's first coming and of his second coming. Now, Dr. Jeremiah Denton said the rapture and the second coming are not the same, and I agree with that. They are different. But the rapture of the church is the fulfillment of the prophecy of John chapter 14. Now, I heard him say it this morning, and there's hundreds of people in his assembly. Go to John chapter 14. Now, a lot of people put cloud in what he said, and they will not check the Bible to see if what he said is true. They'll just believe it because he's a doctor of theology. Now, in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Do y'all know who the people he's talking to are? Do not let your, who are the your?
The little flock.
Look at chapter 13, verse 35. Chapter 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Excuse me, if you have love one to another. How can you tell a disciple today? Huh? Somebody talk to me. You let me show you how you know you can see a disciple today, if there were any. Go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children, his brethren and his sisters, yea, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. Do y'all believe that the churches that teach discipleship classes teach that verse?
No.
No, they do not. Verse 27. And whosoever doeth not hear, bear his cross and come out to me, cannot be my disciple. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Go back to John chapter 14. Beloved, there is no way that you can say that John 14, the rapture, is the fulfillment of John chapter 14. Not if you believe the Bible. Now, chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart, well, he's talking to his disciples. They have forsaken everything. They have followed him. Now, before we go too far, let's check out something else about these disciples. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Did Jesus Christ say they couldn't be his disciples unless they forsook all?
That's right.
He sure did. Now, verse 27, Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, the rapture of the church, where do we go? We go out to meet the Lord in the air. We're the church, the body of Christ, are members of his kingdom, the kingdom of his dear Son. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he was buried, and the third day he resurrected. The body came up. The body ascended up after 40 days. He spent 40 days with the 12 apostles. He called these disciples here apostles. He ascended up. We went up with him above all heavens. So we are seated with him in the heavenly places. So when the rapture takes place, we go out to meet the Lord. We get our vow bodies changed, made like unto his glorious body. Then the Lord will let the Antichrist be revealed, and there will be a 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. And he said, Ye which have followed me in the regeneration, second coming, you shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So I know that these in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not going out at the rapture. You understand? We are heavenly people. They are earthly people. The kingdom of heaven, the first time you hear the thing about the kingdom of heaven will be in Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven will come down and be literally on this earth. You understand? It has nothing to do with the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, we're all in the kingdom, the overall kingdom. Now, I know where Peter and them's going to be at. Go to Revelation and take Revelation chapter 22. Now, in Revelation 22, it's about a... I'm going to start in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded a fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now listen, if you believe the Bible, hold what you got here and go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Hold Revelation, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter chapter 2. Let's go to verse 21. We'll just break into the context. For even hitherto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. In other words, he told them back there, he said, take up your cross and follow me. The cross that he took up led to death. They are to die in the tribulation. They are to give up their life so they can have eternal life. Now, watch what it says. Verse 22, who did no sin, Jesus Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. In other words, Jesus Christ committed himself to God, the Father. Now, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Was Peter and them healed by his stripes? He said he was, didn't he? Well, go back to hold your place here. Go back to Revelation chapter 22, verse 2. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of what? The nations. What nations? Those nations out of Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. He said, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. These Gentile nations back here, that over here in the tribulation, that blessed the seed of Abraham and helped them in the time of their trouble, go into the thousand-year millennial reign, have Matthew chapter 28 preached to them. They go in there, and the leaves of this tree that John saw are for the healing of the nations. Those back here that Peter wrote to in 1st and 2nd Peter are healed by his stripes. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Now listen, you can't mix the disciples in with the church, the body of Christ. It won't work. Now verse 1 in Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the law revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And you ought to underscore right here, Ezekiel chapter 28, about the Satan, how beautiful he was and how he was desired. He is despised. He is rejected of men. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Beloved, he's talking about the time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John they rejected him. They despised him. They didn't like him. They said, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. Now watch what he says. Verse 3, he is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Who is he talking about? I know where they're at. I can find them in 1st and 2nd Peter. They were healed by his stripes. So the new tree of life over here is for the healing of the nations. Now, go back and take John chapter 14. Might as well go ahead and take 1 John while you're at it. John 14. Take 1 John chapter 3, John 14. Now, in John 14, verse 1 again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's the disciples. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself. Now, y'all just sit there and let me run right over something. The most important part in that verse right there. I will come again. Well, beloved, he ain't never come to the church, the body of Christ yet. But he will appear at the rapture for the church, the body of Christ. He came to his own in John 1 and in Matthew 15. He said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So when Jesus Christ said, I will come again, he's talking about his second coming, coming for those people that followed him, and in the regeneration, they will sit on 12 thrones. He's talking to his disciples. Now watch what he tells them. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Ain't got nothing to do with the church, the body of Christ. Now you cannot say that the rapture is the fulfillment of John chapter 14. Now you can say it, but it don't make it right. You understand? It's wrong. Now look what he tells these same people. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Who is he talking to? His disciples. He hasn't changed who he's talking to. He's not talking to the church, the body of Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 22. I can find these people right here in the book of 1 John. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Go to chapter 2, verse 20. Now listen to me. You got to separate yourself out from these people that don't believe the truth. That is the first part of cleaning up the spirit and the flesh. Doing what? Separating yourself out from among those that are not believers. In other words, separating yourself from those that don't follow Paul. Didn't Paul tell us to clean up the filth of the flesh and the spirit in Corinthians? He sure did. Well, now 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Anybody in here want to stand up and quote the Bible for me? You want to stand up and tell me what we're going to do tomorrow? Do you know all things? Now listen, those in 1 John match those in John chapter 14. So they have an unction. Watch what he says here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Now watch what he says. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, do we have the Holy Spirit within us?
Yes.
Yes, we do. Do we have the Holy Spirit to bear witness with his Spirit that we are the children of God?
Yes.
Do we have the Spirit in us that we need not a teacher?
No.
No, we do not. Those disciples that love him and keep his commandments have an unction from the Holy One, and they need not that any man teach them. Why? Because when they are asked to speak, the Holy Spirit will speak through them and give them the words that they shall say. They don't need a teacher. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Not so with the church, the body of Christ. What I'm trying to show you, that John 14 is 90 degrees away from the rapture, and it has nothing to do with the church, the body of Christ. It is not. The rapture is not the fulfillment of John 14. I don't care what Dr. Jeremiah Denton says. Now, he is wrong, and he'll have to answer for it when he meets the Lord someday. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, go to verse 9. Now that he ascended, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died, What is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Did you read anything in there about disciples?
No.
Did you read anything in there about disciples? You know why? God never told you to forsake everything you got. God told you if you won't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel and have denied the faith. That ain't what he told these in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He told them to forsake everything you got. Come follow me. You'll have treasures in heaven. He didn't tell us that. He told us to take care of our family. He said the fathers in 2 Corinthians 12 ought to lay up for the children. He said, if a man won't work, neither should he eat. We got a lot of people on welfare that ought to be hungry. Instead of feeding them, they ought to get out and get a job. Look what he says. Verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Well, we got to have teachers today. I need a teacher. I do not have the unction from the Holy One, then I know all things. I don't know nothing as I ought to know. Go back to 1 John chapter 3. I apologize, chapter 2. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Well, that can't be the same as what we just read there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 4, we need a teacher. What for? For the perfecting of the saints. Well, these people here that he's talking about in 1 John match those in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They don't need a teacher. They have an unction from the Holy One. Now, verse 28, 1 John 2, 28. And now, little children, abide in him. Well, who are the little children? That's his disciples. Go back to John, St. John, chapter 13. Verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, he's talking about Judas Iscariot now. When he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify himself in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while, I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Didn't we read that in 1 John? How you could recognize him? Because they love one another. And then he said, well, go back to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God and love one another. Well, I know who he's talking to. He is not talking to the church, the body of Christ, in John 13 or 14. Go back to John chapter 13. Verse 33, little children, that's the disciples, yet a little while am I with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So I know those in 1 John are his disciples. How do I know that? Because they love one another. You understand? Now, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, and his kingdom. Preach the word. What word? The word that was committed to Paul. Romans to Philemon, rightly divided. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, I believe we're in that time now. People don't want sound doctrine no more. They want the singing and the hallelujahs and the jumping the pews and the carryings on that go on in the name of religion. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now watch what Paul tells Timothy to do. But watch thou in all things endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Well, how has he got to make full proof of his ministry? By his doctrine. Go to chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 22. Now I'm going to break into the context. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Do you know why he's saying that call on the Lord? Hold your place. Go to Romans chapter 10. Go to Romans chapter 10. Verse 13. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Go to Psalms. Hold your place you got. Go to Psalms 145. Psalms 145. Now, you may go to a religious church or shenanigans that calls on the Lord, but how do you call on the Lord? That's a problem with it here if you're not careful. Let's go to verse 17 now. You go back and study the whole chapter, but let's go to verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Well, beloved, when he raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, Paul said there's something that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and it's called the church, the body of Christ. The word rot means to work something, to work. So, and he's righteous in all his work. So there's a day coming that the rapture will take place. We go out to meet the Lord in the air, and we will put our works on the judgment seat fire, if you please. Let me use that term. In other words, our sins will not come up. Our sins were took care of Calvary, but our works will come up at the judgment seat of Christ. And if our work is built on the foundation that Paul laid, and if it's built properly and done rightly divided, then it will go through the fire, and we will receive that which we have done according to our works. You understand? Now, if your work is wrong, if you ain't rightly divided, if you do like Jeremiah tried to bring the rapture to the fulfillment of John 14, if he makes it to the judgment seat of Christ, that work that he's done this morning will burn up. Why? Because it is not right. It's wrong. Anybody built on this foundation, wood, hay, stubble, precious gold, silver, and all kind of precious stones, this work will be tried. So we know wood, hay, and stubble represents something that a fire will burn. He will suffer loss. If Jeremiah gets there, he will suffer loss for that work he did this morning. But he, if he's saved, he will be saved yet so as by fire. He can't lose his salvation if he's saved. But if he's not saved, he won't go to the judgment seat of Christ. He will go to the great white throne judgment, and all of his works will be brought up. And if he ain't worked the right work, he's going to be cast into hell by the angels of Almighty God. And that is serious. You see, I believe back like in the days of Noah back here, this big old ark back here, three stories, I believe that there were eight people out of millions of people that were saved from the raft. How were they saved? The water lifted them up above the raft. Anytime that you see these Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these people here identifying in water baptism, they look forward to second coming, salvation at the second coming. They do not look back to Calvary for salvation. They look forward to salvation. The church, the body of Christ, we look back to what Christ did at Calvary for salvation. And it's different. Now, Psalms 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him, how? In truth. Go back to Romans chapter 10. Now listen to me. I don't like false teachers. I don't give a flip what kind of title they got on it. Dr. Snodgrass or Dr. Whoever. I don't care. Neither does God. God does not respect anybody's person. It don't make no difference if you're on the bottom of the pole or on the top of the pole. God has no respect of persons. Verse 13, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, listen to me. Did Peter and them call on the name of the Lord? He told them over there in 1 John, whosoever believeth on the name of the Son of God. He didn't tell us that in Romans to Philemon. He told us that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, the word confession there is the same, is saying the same thing that God said. Well, what did God say? God said that he made Christ to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And when that body was resurrected, we were wrought in Christ with Christ's righteousness. Can't beat it. And Jeremiah Denton ain't got a foggy idea about that. If he tries to say that the rapture is the fulfillment of the promise of John 14, he's got it in the wrong place. The second coming is the fulfillment of John 14. He said so in John 14. I will come again. I don't know how people can put their clothes on and get up in front of people and say God said this when God did not say that. I don't know how to lay down at night with a clear conscience. Verse 14, Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they not believe? Well, that is a good question. How are you going to call on the Lord if you don't believe him? Whosoever shall call on the Lord, how? In truth. Peter and them called on the Lord. Jesus Christ asked Peter. He said, Peter, whom do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what Jesus told them? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. You can find this in Matthew 16, verse 13 through about 17. He says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The unction, the Holy One, remain in you. Well, do we have the Holy Spirit in us? But we have the Holy Spirit as the earnest of that we will be purchased out of this world before the tribulation. Not in it. Some of the grace preachers have got us going in to the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And you know what some of them people are doing? They say we're going into that part over there. They're storing up food and ammunition and all that so they can fight the Antichrist, when in the book of Revelations, the Antichrist overcomes these people. He has the power to kill them. You can't kill the Antichrist. There's people go over here in this time over here going to seek death and can't die. You can't even commit suicide. Oh, you can't hang yourself and die. God ain't going to allow it. I mean, why teach people something that Paul never warned us about in Romans to Philemon? Paul never told me to be prepared to resist the Antichrist over here. I mean, it's just like what Dr. Jeremiah Denton did this morning. And them people by the hundreds sitting there, and I guarantee you, they ain't the first one of them will leave there today and go home or whenever, if that's not a, it may be a taped ministry, I'm not sure whether that's live or not. But if they don't go home and check out what he said, every one of them will believe every word that he said. They'll believe that the rapture is the same as Matthew 24. One will be in the field. Two will be in the field, one will be taken in the rapture. That is what's happening. But they claim it's taken in the rapture. But they are taken as Moses was taken above the raft. The water took him up. Peter said, well, water doeth also now save us. Save them what? Acts 2:41, he told them, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Where is this generation headed? Romans to Philemon. I ain't talking about the one we live in. I'm talking about Matthew through John. They are looking forward to seeing the Antichrist and resisting the mark of the beast, and they love not their lives unto the death over there. Men, you don't have to die. He's abolished death for men who... 2 Timothy told us. Now watch what he says in Romans chapter 10. verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without preaching? Now listen, that preacher this morning told them people, what did they hear? I know what they heard. I heard what he said. I heard the same thing they heard. He said that John 14 is the rapture of the church. That rapture of the church is the fulfillment of this prophecy of John 14. And it ain't no such a thing. Now, how can I prove that it ain't? Let's see if we can do it for just a minute or two here now. Go to Revelations chapter 11. Revelations chapter 11. Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew 25, I'll start there first. Go to the verse. I'm not going to read all of it for time's sake. It's talking about the bridegroom coming and the virgins that got some oil for the lamps and some of them ain't and all this. Now, verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Do you know that Paul, not one time in Romans to Philemon, calls Jesus the Son of Man? Now, I know these people are to watch, so they don't know when the Son of Man's coming. They know he's a coming. Peter wrote to them in Acts 13, verse 19. He told them to repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he, the Lord, shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens will. We know he's gone above the heavens, so he's up there now. When the rapture takes place, the seven-year tribulation, after the seven-year tribulation, then the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. You understand? Paul never mentions it, Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. Now, go to chapter 24, old Revelation 11. Go to Matthew 24. When will the Son of Man come? Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be dark and the moon shall not give a light, star to fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Beloved, there's a word in there that you ought not to... You ought to underscore, red letter, the do something. The word sign. There are no signs for the rapture. There are signs for the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. None for the rapture. Verse 30. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all... Oh my golly, we're going to have to get us a better translation here. Then shall the church, the body of Christ, mourn. No, you got a good translation. Just believe it. Watch what he says. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Why? 12 tribes. You, disciples, Matthew 19:27, you which have followed me in a regeneration, sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So the 12 tribes of Israel are involved in the tribulation. The church, the body of Christ, is not. Don't care who you are or who they are that say that we're going in the first 3.5 years. They can store up food and ammunition till hell freezes over. And if they're saved, they're going out at the rapture and they ain't going to know nothing about this tribulation over here physically. You understand? I say physically. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 30, and then shall appear the sign. When will it appear? Immediately after the tribulation. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And that is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Acts chapter 1 by the angel. He said, "Why you men stand here gazing up, this same Jesus which was taken up shall so come in like manner." Here it is right here. The Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, go back to Matthew 24 and take Matthew 24, take verse 21. Now this is the tribulation passages. Verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation over here after we're gone, rapture of the church. You know this don't make no sense to me. If the rapture of the church is the fulfillment of John 14, and those in John 14 are instructed to resist the Antichrist, how's God going to handle that? He's going to take them up in the rapture and then send them back down here so they can be... Oh, that don't make no sense. So people just don't stop and think. They get these doctorate degrees and they go to their mind and their head and they think, well, these people ain't going to study no how. I'll just tell them what sounds good and make them tickle their ears, you know. You'll have to answer for it. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake. These days shall be short. Now, go back and take Revelation chapter 11. So I know there's some elect over here that God said he was going to shorten these days, because if it wasn't possible, the power that the Antichrist has in the first 3.5 years is going to be so overwhelming that the very elect won't be saved. So he's got to shorten them. So we're not going into any part of this. Why? I bet you right now, if there's somebody walked through that door right now and said, if y'all don't take the mark of the beast or his name in your forehead, I'm going to kill you when you walk out this door, some of y'all wouldn't ever go home, would you? Or what would you do? I'd take the mark of the beast. You know why? There ain't nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus loved us just like we are. Not after we changed, just like we are. Now, Revelation 11, and I'm going to shut up. Verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded. In other words, over here in the tribulation, there are seven angels that got seven vials of the wrath of Almighty God to pour out on this world. The same as Noah tried to show these people back here. Noah's called a preacher of righteousness. He tried to show these people that God was going to destroy the world. And I can suspect, I can hear them laughing at him and ridiculing him and walking around saying, "Y'all see that old idiot that lives down there in that hollow down yonder? He's building something they call a boat and said God's going to flood." They ain't never seen a drop of rain in their life. And they know of telling God, "Better get ready, God's going to destroy this thing with water, going to flood it." And I can see them laughing at it. You know what Paul told us? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. You know why he said, "Those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You think Jeremiah Denton is suffering for what he said wrong this morning? No, they applaud him. Clapping him. Boy, he's so smart. Look here. He's already showed us how we know when the rapture's going to be. Now listen to me. Did Jesus Christ say no man knows this over it. He even went on to say in another place, not even the Son knows this day. Only the Father. Well, only the Father knows this day. So I can't say it's out of this day in John. It ain't. Now, chapter 11, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded. Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. When will Jesus Christ reign? After the seventh angel has sounded. So after that, he comes down after the seventh angel sounds. You understand? So they know when the second coming will be over here. It ain't got nothing to do with the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. My time's up this morning. I ain't through, but we'll just go down right there.